A shocking week in financial markets, with stock markets crashing all around the world, the Japanese yen carry trade unwinding, Bitcoin falling below 50,000 and then bouncing rapidly. We'll get into the economy and, of course, the price action coming right up. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about all that has happened over the last few days in financial markets. Unemployment starting it off last week. Okay, let's start with the economy. Unemployment rate got to 4.3% last week, and this really set off a global panic. Now, I'm going to unpack what happened in the yen and as well as what happened in stocks, but we have to go one step at a time and think about, zoom out and think about what's been happening with the financial markets. Over the last year, we've had the Fed on pause. They got to 5.5% policy rates and then kept them there in order to try to slow inflation. And you slow inflation by slowing the economy. So the Fed is actually trying to get unemployment up. Okay, that's the first thing. Now we see that it is working, meaning the Fed has been able to trigger an increase in unemployment, which is their goal. The reason that that is their goal is that an increase in unemployment will bring down inflation as it worsens aggregate demand. Why? Because when people lose their jobs, they're less likely to spend, slowing down the consumer. And in that way, the Fed is trying to get unemployment up because they're trying to get inflation down. Now the Fed has admitted that there is a balance in the risks, meaning that the risk of inflation going up is just as balanced as the risk of unemployment going up. Both of those are risks to the Fed, and now we see the market responding in a very drastic way. Now, I'm not going to talk about how many cuts we think are going to happen for the rest of the year, because that number, as you guys know already, chops around a lot. Will there be two cuts, three cuts, four cuts, one cut? As the markets progress and as time progresses and we get closer and closer to each meeting, we are more confident in terms of what the Fed is going to do. Right now, we believe the Fed will probably be cutting at each of the three meetings for the rest of the year. But the main point here is that we went from potentially one to two cuts in September and December to now well over 1% of cuts. So that's the equivalent of four cuts for the rest of the year. That's a huge shift. Now, let's ask ourselves, why such an enormous shift? Instead of, will they cut 50 or 25 in September? Will they go again in November or wait till December? All of that is minutia. What really matters is the speed at which the markets readjusted. Why did the markets readjust so quickly? It has to do with this whole soft landing narrative. It was bogus the entire time. We know empirically that with the Fed raising rates as rapidly as it did, we are going to hit a wall, and that wall is the equivalent of a recession. Now that we have the economic data slowing, as we see here on the chart with unemployment, unemployment is going to trigger a slowdown in the consumer. That will trigger a slowdown in profits. Profits going down will cause companies to fire more people. And the cycle goes on until the Fed comes back with liquidity conditions that are favorable to the market and the economy. And remember that monetary policy operates with a 6 to 24 month lag. Call it about a year to a year and a half until the Fed's decisions actually affect the economy. That's why the unemployment rate is getting bad now in the middle of 2024, because it wasn't until the beginning of 2023 that the Fed really started to get into an extreme restrictive rate hiking mode when it was going 75 basis points at a time for consecutive meetings. So if the Fed paused a year ago, we can not expect any boost to the economy from lower rates for at least a year from now. That is a key point to understand here. I thought personally a few months ago that the Fed was going to completely botch this by not cutting early enough. And that is what I see now playing out, where you're going to see unemployment rise likely to 5% here. I don't have a great time horizon, but going up 0.7% is going to cause a lot of pain in aggregate demand. The Fed cutting rates by 1% over the next two meetings. Let's say they cut 50 in September and 50 in November. First of all, it smells like panic if they do that. But secondly, if they are actually cutting rates by that much, it means the economy has already gotten really bad. Because if it wasn't so bad, they would be cutting 25 basis points every quarter and just easing into this whole soft landing, really make-believe idea that the Fed was putting forth, but also the financial media, which loves to be the Fed's and the stock market's champion, that, oh yes, we're going to have a soft landing, so don't sell your stocks. No, actually, the reality is that you see the Fed tighten, you hit a hard landing, stocks crash, and then the Fed has to respond so fast that stocks bounce and give the bears almost no opportunity to close their shorts for a profit. So that looks like, and those periods, let me just say, we have the experience of Silicon Valley in 2023. The crash of all markets and then the bounce off of the bailout, it was so rapid that now that is the norm. That is what you need to expect. So an enormous crash followed by potentially a complete recovery based off of a couple things that a central banker or two might have said. So let's continue to watch the bounce that's going on that started this morning. And we'll continue to watch to see if this complete breakdown of the soft landing narrative is going to turn into something very painful that causes the Fed to react rapidly, or we just see the Fed come in and say, we're going to be steadily reducing rates, cutting by 25 basis points of meetings starting now in September. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold two of three keys and you gain a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your Unchained account via their trading desk, avoiding all exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best retirement products in the industry. Easily roll over your IRA or 401k while keeping control of your keys. And Unchained is running a special right now until August 15th. This is a limited time offer, $1,745 off of a Bitcoin IRA, free for the first year, and no onboarding fees and no setup fees. Use the promo code AUGUSTIRA when you create an account. Imagine losing your Bitcoin to a house fire or accidental damage. A nightmare, right? It's estimated that 30% of Bitcoin is lost forever. Poor seed phrase security is a big reason why. That's why we use Stampseed, a DIY kit that allows you to hammer your seed phrase into a durable plate of titanium using professional stamping tools. These plates are made of fire-resistant titanium of up to 3,000 degrees. They are rust-proof, crush-proof, and time-proof. It comes in one solid piece, so it's compact and easy to hide, and the full C words are hammered deep into these small titanium plates. Stampseed is specially designed with patented tools from knowledge of working inside metal stamping for over 14 years. Don't risk your Bitcoin security. Get Stampseed today at stampseed.com, and don't forget to use the promo code TBL for 15% off of your order. In 2024, your phone isn't just for calls. It's your digital fortress. Data breaches at major carriers are on the rise, putting your sensitive information at constant risk. SIM swaps and identity theft are at all-time highs. Enter Ifani, your ultimate shield against digital threats. Ifani delivers premium mobile service with unparalleled protection against SIM swaps and privacy invasions. Safeguard your crypto assets and personal data with the industry's most advanced security measures. Protect yourself now. If you value privacy and security, Ifani Secure Mobile is the answer. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect yourself today and use code TBL for $99 off the Ifani Safe plan. Now, the second chart is on the economy, again, one from last week, a complete breakdown once again in ISM manufacturing. We saw ISM manufacturing, the headline number, fall below 47, which is approximately our recession line, but the employment subcomponent down to 43.6. Now, ISM services this week printed a little bit better. Both the headline and the employment metric bounced above 50, but the ISM manufacturing data series really tells us that the U.S. economy is not in a good shape. We have seen the headlines over the last 6 months to a year of all the large companies that are firing people. We saw all these layoff headlines over the last several months. Where was that data showing up in unemployment claims and the unemployment rate? It wasn't really, and now it appears finally to be showing up. So that's the economic backdrop. Now let's talk about what happened in the markets on Friday and Monday. Okay, let's go to risk markets now. Let's talk about the S&P 500 and the global stock market crash that we saw over the last few days. Now, these macro bond charts do not include Tuesday price action. We're going to get into all of that later in the video. First, I want to show you the five-day change in the S&P 500 as of Monday afternoon, -5%. This was the largest move over five trading sessions since 2022. So you see a lot of compressed volatility over the last couple years with the Fed on hold. Now the Fed getting ready to cut rates, and markets are not excited. Rather, they're panicking as to why the Fed is thinking about cutting potentially at every single meeting this year. So you see that the change in the S&P 500 was very drastic, but a large bounce this morning that's not included in this data. The next chart is on the Treasury market. So let's look at this chart overlaying the 10-year yield in purple with the yield curve in orange and black. So the black portions of the yield curve, the difference between the 10-year and the 2-year part of the curve, when it's black, that means that it's negative. When it's orange, that means it's positive. Right now, we are seeing the bull steepening of the curve. Last year, we were uncertain if we were going to get a steepening of the curve along with a bear move, so a bear steepening. That would be all rates rising while the front end of the curve is rising at a less quick pace than the long end. And in that way, the 10-year yield might be at 5% with the 2-year yield at 4%. That would be a steep curve and a bear move in the 10-year part of the curve. But when we look at what happened in 2000 and 2007, right before major recessions, you have massive bull steepening moves. So because I've had this chart on the screen for previous videos going back a year, I want to emphasize here why I kept showing you the bull steepening. These red lines, these red arrows that are going down, this is the 10-year yield falling in 2000, 2001, from 07 to 09. The yield falling on treasuries means treasury prices are going up as there is a demand for safety. This is the risk-free asset of the financial system currently. Even though we want Bitcoin to be, it's not. Bitcoin craters when things go wrong. Right now, the only asset that responds positively in price, and this includes the dollar tanked this week, guys. This is an important detail. The dollar didn't rally on a flight to safety. The dollar sold off on lower yields and interest rate parity, meaning that as rates are going to come down in the US, money will flee the dollar to another currency that's higher yielding. So this wasn't a broad panic trade that included an exit of other currencies for the dollar. The Chinese yuan actually appreciated during this period. The dollar weakened versus the Chinese currency. That shows you here that this move in treasuries proves once again that in a risk-off environment, treasuries are the only thing that receives a bid. Now, with treasury prices skyrocketing over the last few trading sessions, yields have come down, the curve has started to steepen, and now what are we seeing? Potentially that the enormous bull steepening of recessions past could be again with us. And so if we see treasury yields in the 10-year part of the curve come down to 3.5%, 3%, and the yield curve steepen out to 25, 50, 75 basis points, this would be a sign that we are already in a very bad recession. Now, if the curve steepens and 10-year yields fall to 3%, where does that put 2-year yields mathematically? It puts them at 2.5%. You heard me right, 2.5, not 3.5, not 4.5. Policy rates are at 5.5% right now. So what are we expecting here at the Bitcoin layer? We are expecting at least 2% of rate cuts. And likely, or let's just say, there is a probability that is material that we have 3% of rate cuts over the next year to year and a half. Now, if we see 3% of rate cuts, that means that it's a very bad recession. And the Fed has responded by slashing rates. Now, I don't want to entertain just quite yet the idea of zero interest rate policy or ZIRP coming back. And I don't want to entertain the idea just yet of QE coming back. We're going to talk about the balance sheet a little bit here with the repo markets. But do I think the Fed is going to come back with QE? Or do I think that we are going to get rates all the way to zero? Not yet. Nothing is telling me that that is what's happening. What I do see, though, are an enormous amount of rate cuts here coming. So 50 basis points definitely by the election or so, and we'll go from there and we'll see what's going on with the path of the economy, the path of stocks, and what policymakers decide to say. All right, let's go to the Bitcoin price. I know several of you were probably on the edge of your seat as Bitcoin was falling below 50,000. Now, it's had a nice bounce today. We'll get to that chart later, but I want to show you a 5-day decline. This is on price minus $10,000 here. That's the largest 5-day move to the downside since 2021. That even includes the 2022 November dip as well as the June 2022 Voyager and 3AC unwind. So really a large move for Bitcoin to the downside. You'll see a $5,000+ bounce when today's candle is through. And with Bitcoin's price, we have to expect volatility just all the time. That's why we're going to watch trend lines for you, continue to watch what are the levels that once they break, the market just completely falls apart. That is also the case on the upside as well, which is favorable for Bitcoin holders because I believe just as you do that you're in an asymmetric position. It means the downside is X, but the upside might be 5X, 10X, 50X, or 100X. And in that way, the balance of downside and upside makes the asset allocation to Bitcoin more sensible than if you were to just look at the average volatility relative to other asset classes. Putting it in context here, we can see the move from the last few days in Bitcoin barely registers on the exponential chart here. So that, of course, is the log axis. Now, Bitcoin at about $1 trillion in market cap, that's down from about $1.5 to $2 trillion in market cap. But we see Bitcoin here exponentially rising, 1% of global stocks and bonds. That number is definitely going to go up over the coming years as we see more and more institutional adoption. It just means that people are going to need some Bitcoin in their portfolio. Let's take a look at Bitcoin versus its competitors, meaning the other asset classes. This is a trailing 5-year chart. Bitcoin up to a level of 450 starting at 100. So that's more than a quadrupling of the price of Bitcoin over the last 4 years. And that's in relation to stocks less than doubling, gold up about 63%, and a 17% or so decline for U.S. Treasuries as an asset class over the last 5 years. Now shifting gears to the repo markets. You guys know we have our eyes on SOFR. Now the SOFR rate dipped a little bit off of the back of really a flight to safety and investors having a bunch of cash from the sale of securities needing to invest it and therefore depressing repo levels as there are more providers of financing to the dealers. Remember, if there's a risk-off move, investors sell stocks. When they sell stocks, they get that money into their checking, into their money market fund accounts. That money market fund account goes out and invests in treasury repo. So if there's more cash to invest in repo because there are more security sales, that means repo rates will go down. That's actually a good thing for primary dealers. That has nothing to do with the other side of the equation, which is reserve scarcity, which is when there are reserves that are not being lent in the repo market because banks do not want to let go of the quantity of reserves they have because they're no longer ample, but they're scarce. Now, in this next chart here, I have SOFR volumes. This is the amount of money needed in the financing markets, in the treasury repo markets by dealers on a nightly level. So this $2.2 trillion, this is the amount of inventory the dealers have and what they need to finance every single night. As this number rises, what you're basically seeing now is a demand for repo financing from other corners of the money market, for example, money market funds. So that's the source of the financing here. If money market funds see more value in treasury bills, which we know that the treasury is going to come and start issuing a lot more bills, then those bills take money away from dealers and gives it to the directly to the U.S. government. Whereas the dealers here, in order to purchase the treasury securities for their inventory, which the government does get, the dealers themselves need extra cash. They need financing cash. And that's where the repo market comes in. This is the chart of SOFR rates in orange. You can see them come back down after a little bit of a spike for July month end heading into the first couple days of August. But again, with securities being sold, cash comes into money market accounts. That money market fund then buys repo. It means it invests that cash with the dealer. And because there's so much cash, the dealers can actually say, hey, we won't pay you as much today. Okay, now the more fun part of the video, we're going to get into the candlesticks, going to look at prices from the last couple weeks. It feels like a couple weeks. It's actually only the last few days of price action that I'm really curious about. And so let's look at weekly candles and daily candles. Let's start with Bitcoin weekly candles. You can see I've redrawn the support line here because we've had some support violated, especially the one connecting the rally point from the SEC defeat in the fall of 2023. So I've connected now the beginning of 2023, really this SBF FTX recovery low below 17,000, and I've connected that to the first day of ETF approval when we had a huge spike in the moments of approval, and then days later we had this crash, this capitulation, mini crash to the low 30s. Now you see that those two points actually connect with where the wick happened yesterday below 50,000 in Bitcoin. And so this yellow line now will inform our decisions. Now, when I say decisions, what do I mean? I mean, we are a research shop. So it's our job to convey to you what we believe is going on in markets. So are we in a bull market? Are we in a bear market? That's pretty much one of the first things that we need to ask ourselves when we are in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is very unique in that it has long bear markets and it has protracted bull markets that can get stupid, really, for a lack of better term, stupid to the upside with parabolic moves that shock the world and cause every single media outlet to fawn over Bitcoin and then crypto, thereby causing a bubble and causing a overhype wave and then a crash. So we see this bullish and bearish waves in Bitcoin, and that's what we try to cover to show you where we are. Now, I want people to know that they have access to our free newsletter at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe, but only TBL pros are able to access our weekly quantitative risk report. It's called Mean Median Mode, and with this risk report every Monday, you guys are able to see all of our technical levels and what we are looking at from the risk lens. This is the coming from my days at a hedge fund in the risk department. Our job was to tell the traders exactly what their positions are and where the risks lie, meaning what are the downside risks and what are the levels that once we break through, you might get momentum selling coming in. So these are some of the things that we cover in our weekly report for TBL pros. So now when I say that the yellow line is going to inform our decisions, it is going to inform us as to whether we are still in this bull market or not. And so right now, a huge bounce off of the $49,000 area is positive, but you have all this resistance above from 70 to 75,000 because we've had basically three failed attempts at breaking out above 75,000. And each one of those three attempts is lower than the previous. So we've had two lower highs since we got to an all-time high at around 75K. That means we are in a countertrend bear market right now, and countertrend because the greater trend is a bull market. And so the yellow line will be very important. We'll keep watching that for you guys. And you know, you can always check us out at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for all of our latest research. Zooming into daily candles here, you can see where that Bitcoin price, that daily candle on Monday wicked down and a huge bounce, and then today up back above 56,000, so about $6,000-$7,000 pop. That's about 12 to 14% rise from the lows here in Bitcoin. This is all normal, guys. If you haven't experienced a Bitcoin bull market before, or even a bear market, and this is your first rodeo, this is completely normal. It's normal in that Bitcoin has some of the highest volatility ever recognized of any asset class in financial history. And so with this record-breaking volatility, you can always expect these types of moves. You even saw that the five-day change from that previous chart, the five-day change of Bitcoin, wasn't even as much as what was happening in 2021 with Bitcoin. So this is normal. And if you aren't used to it, you have to get used to it, because Bitcoin, this is also what makes it impossible for us to even attempt to be a trading service to you guys. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to get our eyes away from the screens, the charts, the funding rates, the on-chain data. We wouldn't be able to think about global macroeconomics. We wouldn't be able to read analysis on what's going on in China and what's going on in Europe with global trade. We wouldn't be able to accomplish any of those things because the price moves too fast. So instead of giving you the minute-by-minute, day-by-day opinion on where the price is going, we try to zoom out, observe 15% daily moves as normal, right? Bitcoin went down over the last, between Friday and Monday, I believe it was down 25%. Okay, so it happens so quickly. And unless you have your ranges and your context, you don't really, you're going to get lost. So right now, the range is 50 to 75. If we go above 75, you can basically guarantee that Bitcoin is going to make this run to 100K. If it goes below 50, we have levels right around the $38,000 to $42,000 area. If it goes below 50 and then below 42, it's a danger zone. There's just no question about it. So that's why these levels are so important. Now let's talk about one of our favorite subjects here, and that's the front end of the Treasury yield curve. We've shown you this rounding top time and time again on two-year yields. Well, finally, it broke down completely. Now, it is a coincidence. You'll see a smile on my face because of how uncanny the timing of the arrows ending and the breakdown in yield. I promise you guys that wasn't on purpose, but what was on purpose here is the rounding top and the belief that front-end rates are heading to 3.5% sometime over the next year. I've believed that. I've charted it for many, many months. It is a result of the lagged effects of monetary policy. I'll say it time and time again. When the Fed raises rates, 6 to 24 months later, you're going to have a recession if you've had a really sharp rate hiking cycle. It happens every time. This isn't some period of fiscal dominance to the point where the government spending a bunch of money can prevent rate cuts from slamming the economy. That was also a make-believe narrative. We have to base our analysis in reality, not what we believe might happen. Look at treasuries. Look at the rally. Look at the fall in yields. It's a response of the whole investment universe saying, I don't want risk. I want the risk-free asset. I'm going to buy treasuries because yields are going lower as growth slows. And I know that in a year, I won't be able to get 4% on a single treasury instrument, maybe a bill, and if that. And so if I won't be able to get 4% next year, and I have the potential to lock in 4.5% as they did last week, you buy, and you send that yield lower. So yields breaking down in the front end of the curve, they're heading to 3.5% for twos sometime in the next several months. And that is a direct result of policy rates will be priced in to come down by 2% at the very minimum. Now, remember that in September, when the Fed cuts rates, they probably won't say anything about easing policy. They'll basically just try to tell you that we're making it less restrictive because we're too restrictive. But inflation is still a risk, and we basically have to slightly lower rates because there's a balance of risk. Again, that's another bogus thing. The Fed is going to just lie through their teeth every chance they get, because they can't actually tell you what's going on. But I will, okay? What is going on? We live in a world that is a credit-based system. It is dependent, mathematically so, dependent on expansion. So when the Fed raises rates, they're pretending to slow the economy, but what they're really doing is they're counting down their own clock to the day where the credit expansion turns into contraction, turns into a crash, and then they have to come and bail out the system again. So it is going to happen again. It's happening in front of your eyes, and you don't need a grand explanation to understand that the Fed is going to over-tighten, crash the markets, and then come back with more stimulus. So whether that stimulus is going to be in the form of rate cuts or QE, we'll wait and see. Right now, up 1% of rate cuts is basically locked. 2% of rate cuts is our base case at the Bitcoin layer, and 3% of rate cuts is where we believe it might be heading. And in the probability of distribution, because you guys know I love talking about my probabilities, there is a 5, 10% chance that we get zero interest rates again. We'll flesh that out as we go. But the fact that, and I'm not alone, the fact that my probability is 10% of zero means that other investors are out there right now telling their desk, hey, rates are going back to zero over the next year. Buy every treasury on every dip, meaning every pop in yield, buy it. Here's the daily candles on twos once we got below. So you can see that rounding top there and with the ascending trend line in yellow. The breakdown, it happened again, a little uncanny, a beautiful breakdown, technically speaking. The Treasury bulls loved this. We welcomed them back once again. A couple months ago, we could really just feel the yields rolling over. Again, this is my background. For people that don't know, I used to be on a Treasury desk trading Treasuries, trading bills, trading notes, trading bonds, trading futures, the curve, and repo. So it is in my nature to study these markets, and Treasury yields are much easier to predict over the short term than any other instrument out there. Why? Because treasury yields are a direct response to the economy, whereas stocks or Bitcoin are not a direct response to the economy. They're a response to other conditions, like liquidity conditions, which are dependent on central bank conditions, which are dependent on the economy. So rates are right at the front. And so it's easier to make that linear extrapolation that, hey, unemployment is spiking. U.S. ISM manufacturing and services are all below 50. The economy is probably heading into recession. Inflation is slowing. Rents are coming down. Remember, J. Powell, obsessed with nighttime doom scrolling of Redfin on his smartphone. He has not admitted it explicitly, but he has done so implicitly. That this guy is falling asleep looking at spot rents coming down, knowing that he has to cut rates imminently to avoid some big disinflationary wave. So if I can see it, if Powell can see it, you can see it too, that yields are coming down. That was an obvious call a few months ago. It's not obvious what Bitcoin or stocks are going to do. I mean, it's crazy to try to predict. And thank God we're not a trading service or operating our own hedge fund too. But I saw this move coming, yields breaking down on a rate cut move, and we got the capitulation now. Again, you can see with the daily candles, rates have popped quite a bit Monday and Tuesday in the front end. They reached below 3.7%, and they're basically back all the way at 4%. But that's down 50 basis points from last week. So huge moves in rates. But you can expect what happened on Friday with the move in rates is the new trend. It's basically the new base case for people, is that we're heading into a hard landing. I think broadly, people that still read the financial media, God bless their hearts, those people were somewhere between a no landing and a soft landing scenario up until last week. Now those people have come to the soft landing versus hard landing, hoping not for a hard landing. Whereas the Bitcoin layer, we told you the whole time soft landing is a bogus narrative. Hard landing is the course. Now it's just how hard and when does it play out. I'm going to show you here 10-year yields. I'm just going to show you the weekly candles. You can see the areas that we flagged at the Bitcoin layer over the past several months were the 4.25 to 4.33 level. Every time yields got above 4.33, they were bought, meaning yields came back down. Why? Investors thought 4.33 for 10-year is a bargain. And it was. Those people have made a lot of money on the trade. If you can just do in your head a 40 basis points move from 4.3 to 3.9 times about 9 years of duration, that's the interest rate sensitivity. Okay, and so you have 40 basis points times 9. That's a nice little 3.6% return in treasury 10-year securities for those that were investing at that level. But if treasuries go much lower to 3%, you're going to have 10 to 15% profit for those positions. Now, 10-year yields breaking down below two levels, both the 4% level and then below the level that they saw at the end of 2023, that was significant. Now, yields are bouncing today. We will see now how yields react at the yellow descending trend line. Remember that we're in a bull market now for treasuries. That is official. And the bull market for treasuries means, remember the guys that think rates are going to zero. They are buying every dip, meaning they're buying every pop in yields. So every time yields go back to 4%, is there going to be buying that comes in? Will it even get back to 4.25? Probably not. Okay? Especially with this hard landing now looming. Front page of the Wall Street Journal, hard landing. Okay, guys, let's take a look at the S&P 500. What a move. And this was the headline grabber. This is what really got the media freaking out, because when stocks crash, everybody basically panics. Now, stocks putting in a nice bounce on Tuesday. These are weekly candles, so you can see that really long wick. I really feel like 4,800 is the magnet here. We've talked about that level. Once we broke above 4,800, you had an incredible rally. Now it probably serves as a magnet. So the stock market longs, you guys need to settle in, make sure you have your stop losses all placed correctly here. This is not trading advice or financial advice whatsoever. We would watch for this 4,800 level to be a magnet for stocks. And we would like to see the Fed react to a move in stocks that isn't just 5 to 10%. So when does the Fed start saying, oh yeah, we're going to get into a bunch of rate cuts here because the stock market is looking bad? We probably won't see that. Remember Jerome Powell trying to be like Paul Volcker and not give way to rate cuts too soon so that inflation doesn't come back. So in that way, we don't expect Powell to be very quick to just say, oh yeah, we're going to come in and bail out the market. He wants to really prevent that and protect his legacy. Okay, guys, the last chart I have for you today is the Japanese yen. Now, let's talk really quickly about this thing called the carry trade. What is the carry trade? Because you've seen it in the headlines, the carry trade is blowing up. Carry trade is a concept that you borrow cheap and you invest in a rate that's higher than the rate that you borrowed. So if rates in Japan are at 1% and rates in the US are at 4%, you can borrow at 1 and invest at 4 and capture a 3% risk-free return. Now, the reason that it's not actually risk-free is that the currencies can move. So if you borrow in one currency and then you invest in another and you have to repay in the original currency, when the currency moves, you're going to have an out-of-balance position. So investors participate in the carry trade to pick up that 3%, and they take on the risk of the Forex move, hoping that the Forex doesn't change that much. And so when I say risk-free, I didn't really mean risk-free. I meant arbitrage here. They're trying to arbitrage the two rates. But the exchange rate itself is a correcting mechanism. And so when the carry trade gets too out of balance, the currency can adjust rapidly and basically take everybody out. And that's what you see on the chart. These are weekly candles of the yen. With the chart going up in price, that is the dollar gaining against the yen. So that's the yen weakening. Now, a yen that's weakening is great for the carry trade because you borrow cheap and the currency that you have to repay is also getting cheaper. That's beautiful for the carry trade. But then what happens when it reverses? The yen strengthens, and then everybody that's short the yen has to buy back the yen to repay their loan to close the carry trade. Because remember, they borrowed yen in the first place. So when you have to repay your loan, you have to buy yen, and that strengthens the yen, and that sends this chart lower here. Dollar weakness, yen strength is when you have red candles. So if the first person has to buy back yen to repay, the yen strengthens, the next person has to do it, and that's how you get the snowball effect. So you see this enormous unwind in the carry trade, and we know it's the carry trade just because the Forex moved. We're just assuming here that a big portion of this move is the borrowers in yen having to pay back the yen, thereby strengthening the yen. So why did this happen and why did the Japanese market crash because of the carry trade blowing up? What I want you guys to focus on is not necessarily the Japanese yen carry trade, because that's a function of cheap rates in Japan and a structural problem over there. What I want you to focus on is global correlations going to one in risk-off moves. So right now, correlations are at 1. Every chart basically looks the same. 10-year yields, 2-year yields, USD-JPY, USD-CNH, meaning the Chinese yuan, Bitcoin, the S&P 500, German bonds, oil. If you zoom in, they all look the same. And that means we are in a danger zone. Heightened volatility, heightened correlations. It just means investors are fearful. They're not willing to diversify between assets. It's either buy it or sell it. And right now, it's sell it and short cover. That's what we saw this morning. So it puts the rest of the week in high drama. We'll continue to watch. We'll listen for any trial balloons from the Fed. Don't forget to catch us on thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our free newsletter that goes out twice a week. TBL pros also have the opportunity to get our weekly risk report every Monday. A special thanks to Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. And definitely go check out our two brand new sponsors. We have Ifani, and they have a great mobile secure service where you can protect your information and protect your identity, as well as Stampseed. Stampseed is a great company that offers these really cool DIY titanium plates and very heavy hammers to hammer your seed phrase into these fireproof titanium plates and protect your Bitcoin seed phrases from fire and from damage. We'll catch you guys next time.